Morning, Rog.
Morning, guys.
By the way,
I'm just before you guys crack on. I know what Tico's going to go with straight up. I'm just going to say beautiful. Tennis has just finished here, wrapped up. Quiet. I'm on the roof of the media centre.
All right. And, shirt on or off?
Beautiful.
Off.
No, I've got it off, but because it's about 22 degrees and there's got a bit of humidity in it, so I've got it off. Jeez, I'm making the most of it.
Geez, it was a cracking day there yesterday. I get confused.
Today, unbelievable. It was a great day of tennis, TK, and Loz, no doubt about that. And it's funny because we've got the big guys on. It's interesting. The 2 days are a little different. They're a bit lopsided. All the stars, you know, big named players are playing on these days, and the off day you've basically got Novak from the men's side of it, so it's sort of a bit limited. But you got a few others. But as far as you know, eyeballs on it. Good day. Where do you want to go, TK?
Let's talk about because I reckon it was personal. Rafael Nadal, plenty of emotion. You could see the way he celebrated. It was like he celebrated winning his third Wimbledon title, Rog, getting rid of Nick Kyrgios 6-3, 3-6, 7-6, 7-6, 3 hours and 3 minutes. It was a sort of, what we expected, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, look, it was great. It was great theatre, entertainment. And, yeah, there was obviously the preamble and what went on there and Acapulco where Nick won after having a couple of match points against him. And then all the talk leading into this and a bit of back and forth on some podcasts. So it was, the theatre was there. It was all set up at centre court. And you know, Nick turned up and he turned up to play and he really offered, you know, yeah, there were some moments, obviously. But let's, you know, if you're looking at those moments, you're not appreciating what actually happened on the court. It was a high-quality tennis match. Mm. We had a lot of tension around it. A couple of tie breaks, and Nick hadn't lost a tie break. He was 5-0 against Rafa in tie breaks going into this one. And Rafa played his best tennis, his most aggressive tennis, found his first serve, found a lot of returns on both those tie breaks, but the tension was definitely in the air. Mm. After the first two sets, it was settled down, and it was all about the tennis. And Nick did some interesting things there to try and rattle the cage. Yeah, he was playing his game of tennis. He tried to tag him at one point and, you know, could have gone in the back fence.
Tag him, you mean he fired a ball directly at him. That's what you mean.
Yeah, it was a squash shot. He plays those during the matches anyway, so it's nothing unusual that he's brought out. And sometimes you actually make it. So I've seen him hit winners off it. I've seen him... It goes directly at the opponent at times, and sometimes you miscue it and it goes into the back fence. But... Rafa didn't like it, but the reality was Nick's allowed to do what he needs to do on his side of the court. And, you know, Nick had the right also to complain about the time that was getting taken between points at times, and he did that very vigorously. And the reality, and what Rafa did, which is really professional, and he just decided, you know, he knows that that's coming at some times in all his matches, but he just locks in and says, if I get a warning, I'll get a warning and accept it, but up until then, I'll just play the game in my time, the way I would need to play it, you know. So smart on both ends. But
How does he get consistency in his game, Rog? Because what you're saying there is, if he plays like that the majority of time, he's going to win most of his matches.
Yeah, look, I think, Loz, I mean, you know what it's like. It's repetition. It's doing the basic elements which make anyone in sport successful. And he admitted that as well. He said, you know, they asked him about it in the press conference. He said, look, I'm not like Rafa. I understand the process. I understand day in, day out. I'm not appreciate and respect that. I'm not a day in, day out guy. So he's not, you know, his honesty about where he's at and what his tennis does is accurate, very accurate. So he's honest about it. And it's just what it is. Today he was obviously looking forward to say, and he did, you know, it just shows the excitement that is around Nick, and that can be around, you know, the tennis landscape if we got that style more often. But you know, it is what it is. But today we saw a really entertaining match.
Yeah, you'd love to see it more consistently, and let's hope that he can do that. But what about Ash Barty? She won.
Yeah, you know what's amazing about Ash is, and we are saying this moment, we're hitting the repeat button. Her delivery day to day and her composure. I mean, it's like she's never not been at this spot. You know, she went out there, immediately got on the front foot, held her serve so cleanly. The ball striking was clean off her racket. Normally, you can with some tension, your body doesn't quite, your legs don't move as well. You know, you're not quite as light footed. But her movement, her ball striking, her precision, raced away to 5-love, took care of business. Anything her opponent from Belgium did, who's quite talented, been here at a fourth round, anything she did, Ash had answers for. So there was there's no part of Ash's game right now, as I look as a coach, where you have there's a weakness where you can actually go to it and actually try and school it. The only thing that I think will displace Ash is someone completely overpowering her. And when I say that, I'm probably looking at Serena Williams, who won in three sets, dropped the first set today, won her last two. That's a quarterfinal matchup. And I think someone like that with real pure power that can take the time away and control a lot of the product, that's the only person I feel like is going to beat Ash here.
Yeah, that's really, really good news. I think I've chatted with you, mate, before and said, you know, watching her at the French Open more closely, she's a much better player than I actually thought she was. So good luck to her. And she's world number one there for a really good reason, mate. John Millman had a win, which is terrific. He's guaranteed $200,000. Alex Zimmerman lost in five sets, but we've got to get to Bernard Tomic, mate. He's been fined $81,000 for lack of effort in that 58-minute loss to Joe Wilfred. He did not perform to the required professional standards. He can appeal this, but he got fined at Wimbledon for this 2 years ago.
Yeah, he did, and there's been a few other occasions as well. But the reality is, I mean, yes, he can appeal it. The umpire, the chair umpire, didn't actually give him a warning for not putting your best performance in for whatever reason. I don't know, because if you were watching that match, which I did, all of it, the fact that there was not a warning or two. And I spoke to Joe Wilfred Tsonga afterwards, and he virtually laughed at me about the match. And so I think the fines there, you've got to be accountable to the product. You know, you got in the draw on your merits, but B, once you're here and you're at an event, you've got to service it the right way. And there is that rule. And I just feel like it's, you know, at some point, here's the hammer comes down and you've got to be accountable to it. I don't mind the fine. Some people are saying, did it need to be the whole thing? I think in this case, just from ball to ball, I've seen Bernie play a lot. He can look lackadaisical on the tennis court, but this was just not trying.
If they do it a number of times, Rog, is there provisions in the rules for tougher penalties?
Bar them?
There's not that as such. It would have to go to, you know, there'd have to be a complaint, and then it would have to go to the ATP, to management, which would then filter down to the player board. The player council, and they represent their members, the other players, and then they would talk through, see whether there's something they would put in play to do that. Because if it's hurting the game and it's hurting their product, then you know there can be something against that. But at this stage, no, you can, you know, you're self-employed, and you can represent yourself how you like. But there is that code there.
Okay. Well, you know that I'm feeling sorry for him, so I'm prepared to set up a GoFundMe page for Bernard to try.
Well, the good thing is, if it happens enough, you know, it's not hard. It's not good going home when you've got nothing in your pocket.
No, I know we could talk about this forever. We've been discussing it, Laurie and I. He must be running out of cash pretty quickly.
Yeah, if you tracked his last 5 years, and then it does, as as we all know, you can be up there, but he's not Nick Styles' endorsements, and he's not playing at that level, and so therefore, and you're also feeding a family, so it goes pretty quickly. He wouldn't have any financial endorsements right now at all. So over the last couple of years, so it does, you know, it milks pretty quick. Yeah,
you're a good man, Rog. We get the shirt back on.
And the funny thing is, with our sport, unlike some other sports, okay, once your contract comes up, and say AFL or rugby, if you've had a good season, your new contract comes up, maybe there's a kicker there, and you're signing for, you might be able to double it or whatever it is. But in tennis, you write your own number near your name. So courtesy of what your input is, sure, you can have that means, well, geez, my base is variable, but the reality is, gee, you can write a big number near your name if you're prepared to really be disciplined and apply yourself. So it's a great sport to be involved in.
That's what frustrates us normal people who don't have the talent of Bernard Tomic. Good on you, Rog.
See you, boys.